Pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, March 12, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame. Welcome to the show. Joining us today, as always, my co-host, partner in crime, Dwayne Mullins. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I am doing this. I have a special co-host today. It's Max, the blind deaf dog, who won't stop obsessively licking the floor. So
he's blind. He's deaf, but he can still walk. So if you hear a little, that's what you hear.
Yeah. Put him up on the couch. He should be fine.
Yeah. No, speaking of blind and deaf, today is Champions League Day, CONCACAF Champions League. We'll talk about it more tomorrow about the CONCACAF side. We'll talk about the UEFA Champions League a bit today. Two big games this afternoon, two big games tomorrow afternoon, the return legs. But some news to start the show. As soon as we wrapped up the show yesterday, Dwayne, we had rumors in the morning yesterday, but it was official after the show yesterday where Zinedine Zidane is back to Real Madrid. You know, you asked me a good question by text this morning, and I'm going to ask the listeners the same question or ask you the same question. How much do you think that costs Perez, Florentino Perez? How much do you think this costs Real Madrid? Like, hey, Zizou, how's retired life? How's the beach? How's your shopping going? Oh, yeah, it's expensive. Hey, well, speaking of being expensive, how about you come back and I give you $100 million?
Yeah, I imagine the phone rang, you know, about 30 seconds after final whistle in the Ajax game, and it would have been a... what do you want? What are you thinking here? I all the things is what that would have cost them. Because why would you come back if you're Zidane? Yeah, unless he did one or two things. Like, he's not wanting for money in his life, right? But
no,
you know, you're still always more is better. Greed is good and all that sort of stuff, right? So he's going to ask for a nice little salary. But I think it would be more like, fine, I'll come back, but you're going to open the checkbook completely in the summer so that I can buy all the things.
Yeah, it's like, I'm coming back, but you know, Eden Hazard, an actual goalkeeper that saves the ball, and maybe a reshuffling of the core of a team that has been the same core for 5 to 6 years. So yeah, maybe that's where the problem is. But Real Madrid with a new manager, newish manager. You know, I still have in my head like how that phone call happened. You know, it's the 90th minute. Zidane's like, should I keep my phone? Should I turn off my phone? They're going to call me. So the phone rings. Answers, hi, Florentino. How you doing? Not too bad. How you, Zizou? How's your mother, Zizou? She's good? Okay. You want to come back? All right. Thank you. Welcome back.
Anyways, would have saw the number would have popped up on the phone. He would have probably just picked up and went, $100 million.
Like that. Hello, $100 million. €100 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Done. It's in my account. Right. Okay. I'm coming back. You can announce.
Anyways, I'll be in town on Tuesday.
I'll be here all week. Surprising. Yes, Solari was sacked, and it's not just about the Champions League. It's especially about the league as well, where they're not contending for the title as we speak, and the post-Ronaldo era in Real Madrid has not gone according to plan, and they sacked their manager, and they got a new one, and we'll see if it changes anything.
Yeah, look, I think I said the other day after they lost to Ajax, I think there's just some staleness there as well. Anytime a team wins a lot of championships in a row, there's going to be a lull. Different sport, not hockey for once. Look at basketball in Golden State. They haven't been dominating this year the way that they have in past years. It's because they're bored. It's because they're bored and they're sick of each other. And they're probably going to – they're still talented enough that they can win in the end and they can turn it on. But maybe they might not because they're bored. And I think the same thing kind of happened with Real Madrid. You win three in a row. Large part of that is – you know, love him or hate him, it was Ronaldo and just his drive to one up the little guy in Barcelona, right? Like, they're, you know, we can joke about why that motivates him, but the reality is it does. So that, you know, cult of personality, that strength of drive to be considered the best in the world and to feel that, you know, I have everything, I just want this too, type thing that Ronaldo had, I think might have been what allowed them to get to that third. And I mean, they're, you know, you look at their those Champions League finals too, and they're all a little different. Couple them with the Atleti, obviously, which has, you know, they're not going to want to let their little brother across town win, right? So there was that. Liverpool, that was a you know, even last year, you look at that game, if it wasn't for the keeping error early, I'm not sure, maybe they had the same even drive last year. So it just came all to fruition this year. They certainly don't have the mentality anymore, that group, to grind through a season. Barcelona is winning that one on a canter right now, and that needs to change. If you're a Real Madrid fan, if you're Real Madrid management, obviously this is a club that has based itself on excellence for years, and, you know, on being the biggest of the biggest clubs in the world. Is there a bigger club in the world? No, I don't think so.
I think it is the biggest club in the world. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is. It's won more Champions Leagues. It's richer. It probably has more fans. I mean, you know, Barcelona, Manchester United, Bayern Munich, they're in the conversation. But I think ultimately, if you had to, you know, make a list, most people are going to put them at the top. So they're going to demand a win. And they can go out and they can get Zidane, a generational talent, a guy who has done nothing but win as a manager. Obviously, you know, he's not the type of guy that's going to go to, you know, Sporting Kansas City and prove himself. Madrid or bust.
He's not going to take over for Peter Vermes in a few years. I thought that was the plan.
Yeah, that's probably not in the plan. So, you know, but Zidane is Real Madrid. He's just has that cool to him. That sort of, he, as we said, I think when he was managing, like when you look at a player, a group of players like that, who the hell can manage them? These are the greatest players in, you know, some of the greatest players in Europe. Greatest, in some cases, you have players that have won Player of the Year. You've won, you know, the current Player of the Year there, right? They have all sorts of talent there. You need to have someone who can step in and go, yeah, I know you're good, but I'm friggin' Zidane. I am one of the top 10 players who have ever played this game. So sit down and listen, right? That does not exist with their Guardiola's. Might be the only other person I think who could come in. He's never, obviously, because of his Barcelona connections, going to go there. So this is the biggest fish that they could get.
Yeah, it is. Maybe it will work. I don't know. It's an interesting idea, but will Zidane's message has the same resonance on another, you know, on another go at it? Will that crop of players still listen to him? Of course they will, but it's still, it's good questions. And, you know, we'll see if it turns around the season, but it won't. This is a move for the 2019-2020 season, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah. What realistically can they expect to get from the rest of this year? There's nothing to play for anymore if you're Real Madrid. Champions League spot, but they should be able to cruise into that. Other than that, this is, I mean, maybe making sure that Atleti doesn't finish above them. That's about all they have to play for. And if you're Real Madrid, that's not a very big prize. You know, they might have a little pride there, and there might be people in the front office that want that. But realistically, as you say, this is about deciding who stays, who goes, and who comes in. That's what this is deciding for the next 3 months. And it's going to be a busy summer, and there's a lot of, you know, if you're Chelsea or if you're Spurs, you're maybe hiding your best player and your manager, respectively, in a closet and hoping that they block all calls from Spain. But Real's checkbook's going to be open is the bottom line here. They're going to look much different next year, but they're going to be good because, you know, there are two clubs in the world and they split down the middle, but most players in the world dream of playing for one of the two of them. And Real Madrid is one of them. So they can pretty much go out and poach even players from big clubs. So that's what they'll do.
It is what they'll do, but it's always a good omen when you get your legend coach back. But will it be enough? That's the question. And we'll see in the next few weeks, months, if Zidane changes the game. Now let's move away from Zidane and let's get a bit closer to home. The Canadian men's national team announced about 17 hours ago, or maybe last night, and it was, we saw it this morning, the roster for the CONCACAF Nations League game. Dwayne, and I'll put the roster up on the screen so our listeners can see a pretty young roster. And, you know, I really like that roster. MLS heavy, North American heavy, with a few great mentors like Atiba Hutchinson, I would even say Russell Tybert and Will Johnson, kind of like in a mentor role, to keep an eye on the youngsters, youngsters like Zachary Broguillard from the Montreal Impact, Derek Cornelius of the Vancouver Whitecaps, Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies, Marcus Godino, Daniel Henry, Junior Horlett, Atiba Hutchinson, Will Johnson, Mark Anthony Kay. Yes, he's back. Okay, hashtag okay. Great goal this weekend. Kyle Larin, Leon Millar, Osorio as well has been chosen. Let me just put it in front so people can see. Beluta Blas, Emil Piet, and Simon Thomas. So not a bad Canadian team. A little look of what the future of our country looks like.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's not a lot of shocks in this. This is pretty much on brand to what John Herdman has been doing for a while. He likes to go young. He's even when it was with the women, he went young a lot, well, younger with the women than he can with the men, realistically. So certainly he has never been afraid to put kids in there, old enough, good enough type thing. You know, Will Johnson, maybe that's a surprise. Certainly there was a while, and I can say this with absolute certainty, that there was a well-known secret within Canadian soccer circles that Will Johnson was done. He was washing his hands with the Canadian men's national team at the end of the last era. And obviously over the last year, John Herdman has managed to convince him to go give it another shot. You know, you can argue whether he should have or not. I'm not sure Will Johnson is exactly what we're looking for anymore, but sure, a little veteran presence, you know, North American heavy lineup, as you say, it's a bit of a surprise there. The only question I would have with this is maybe, and I get why they wouldn't, so this is really a stretch, but maybe a guy like Becker, even though, you know, we haven't seen the ball kicked in anger and he won't play a game, you know, to April 27th, but maybe based on his play in USL last year, in a game like this, I might have liked to see him get a look. But I think that those Canadian Premier League players will get a fair shake once they start to play.
Yeah, I was going to say in the next year, because, you know, the Kyle Becker is a good redemption story, right? His first call back to the national team after being close to the purgatory for a few years. Well, it's a good story. I can see that story on TSN.ca, Sportsnet, or the 11.ca. Shout out to Steven Sandor. I can see that story being told. And, well, it makes a big story. Imagine in the first game of the Nations League this fall, where Canada's qualified, a couple of Canadian Premier League players, Kyle Becker probably being chosen for it. It's a good redemption story. But it's not a good enough story to assure qualification to the Gold Cup and to Group A. I think Team A has to be chosen for March 26th, and that's what they did. And, yeah, Kyle Becker's not on Team A. He's not in the starting 11 of Canada, to be fair, right now. So.
And let's hope that there is at least one more friendly between this and the Gold Cup. That has been the one major criticism that anyone who's followed this program has had over the year, and it is absolutely fair. They, outside of the Nations League games, they did not play last year, and that, to me, is not good enough. There was, I think, an investment in technology and other things like that, but they need to prepare properly for this thing. And if you could get, and ideally a home friendly, but if not, at least go down and, you know, book a public park in Florida or something. I don't care. Just play someone.
And I kind of agree with you. I want to play the States sooner rather than later. I want Canada men's national team versus U.S. men's national team to play each other, because now is the time. They're ripe for the taking, as we say.
Yeah. The other quick thoughts on this few. John Herdman has a stated goal, and if you read the Sportsnet article, and this is John Molinaro wrote that, it might have been Neil Davidson, one of the two. I apologize. I don't have it in front of me. But a story that came out with the lineup today, they mentioned directly in it, about how players that have played for the senior national team generally don't get call-ups to the youth teams. And that has direct consequence in that the U23 qualifying, the Olympic qualifying, is within a year. And it is in Costa Rica this year, for your record, anyone who's curious. And, you know, there's so many under-23s on this roster already. It makes you wonder what that, if he does keep that policy, what that roster might look like. And my mind is, I see that half full, half empty. First off, it reflects the rest of the world in terms of how most nations treat their youth programs. Once you are a senior national player, you don't play for the youth teams anymore. They might make an exception at the Olympics itself, but in terms of the qualifiers, no, you get there with the players that you want to get there. It's a bit of a game. And now Canadian men's national team fans, Voyageurs in particular, are not particularly used to this idea that you wouldn't just put your most strongest teams out there because you want to qualify for everything because you've qualified for so little over the years. So that's going to be a bit frustrating. But I look at it half full the other way, Kevin, in that I think that when you look at the Olympic qualifying roster, it's going to be really heavy with CAMPL players. And I think that's a good thing. And it's going to be a great sort of indication of the strength of the league right away. And if they get, I think they get in the Olympics would be more important for us than for Canada than most countries, just because of the history of the men's program over the past 30 years.
That's not false. But,
yeah, since 86. But that said, World Cup qualifying, Gold Cup, they're more important. So that's an interesting thought there. I like the roster. I think they should have more than enough to beat French Guyana. They did in the Gold Cup. They should be able to here. I don't think it's going to be 5-0 or something, but I think a solid 2 or 3-0 and, you know, a full clinch into the Gold Cup, a full clinch into Group A, where you will get at least one big club coming up here in a club country, coming up here next year for home friendly or home game. Home game matters.
Yep, and you know, when I look again at this this roster, midfield, kind of a, when you look at the presence of the midfield, different type of players there. There's a different type of I would say mentality or instincts, different type of players basically, which would change depending on what the games dictate, and change the schematics of it, change the formation, and you have different type of players to be able to answer that. And you have players like Samuel Piet, whose goal is going to be the sentinel in front of the defense and give a hand to the defense. But still, it's a little thin in the back line, but hopefully in the future the back line becomes better. It's pretty much the question mark of the Canadian men's national team is the back line now.
Oh yeah, 100%. Although I think Daniel Henry is having a decent start to the year. Canellis as well, like to that pairing. I think there's going to be some benefit in the familiarity of them playing together week in, week out. So I'm less worried about it, but it's still definitely where you need to. If you're going to stay up at night, Voyageurs, that's where to stay up at night worrying about. But if you're worrying about the Canadian national team strength, you haven't slept in 30 years. So it's good.
So we're literally 2 weeks away from the last games of the group stage of the qualifying process for the CONCACAF CONCACAF. I kind of stuttered there. CONCACAF! Seems like a good rallying
cry. Rapping?
Yeah, it's like a good rallying cry, you know. At the homecoming rally before we go support the troops. CONCACAF! Anyways.
There you go.
March 26th, games at BC Place. Tuesday in 2 weeks will be the last game of Canada in the qualifying process for CONCACAF Champions League. Now, Dwayne, let's talk about Flow Sports. A second team in Major League Soccer has announced a partnership with Flow Sports for local, I would say, broadcast of games. But it's not really a broadcast. It's a stream. So a local stream for Flow Sports. Flow Sports is an American company that is specified into the production of niche sports. There's a Flow Bowling, Flow Wrestling, Flow Gymnastics. When I say Flow Wrestling, it's like amateur wrestling, like the wrestling in college and high school. So Flow Sports is a company that is dedicated to streams, but not streams like we're used to, like streams where you have a camera and like angles, and like they do have those, but it's more usually a commentator, a fixed camera, and that's about it. And we've seen this in DC's first game last week, and the quality of Flow Sports, not that great compared to what we have here in Canada and DAZN and great HD qualities. But for now, Flow Sports has announced a second deal, this time with FC Cincinnati as their local media partner.
Yeah, and the FC Cincinnati fans are quite frustrated by this, particularly in certain parts of Ohio and Southern Ohio, Lexington, Dayton in particular, are areas that they simply don't have access to Flow. So basically, the idea of the Cincinnati is that they would be, Lexington, of course, is in Kentucky, but that area is what I'm talking about, that they would be a regional team in the southern part of Ohio. And now this deal is kind of blocking that out for certain aspect of their players. It's also, it's $30 a month, apparently.
Yep, it's $150 a year or $30 a month.
U.S. So US. Compare that to 20 Canadian for DAZN.
But it's not like you only get Flow FC, because the soccer component of Flow is Flow FC, because everything is FC, of course, because we don't have any imagination, so we have to take the same acronyms again anywhere. But Flow FC, for $30 a month, you don't just get Flow FC, though. You get every single product and rights, basically, that they do have. But I don't care about Flow Gymnastics. I don't want to pay $30 a month just to watch my team. That's insane. You cannot be twice the... I was going to say three times, but Netflix is expensive now. You can't be twice the size, the price of Netflix for things for 99%. Well, I guess it is like Netflix. I'm paying 99% of the things I don't even watch. So I guess Flow is Netflix, but just in a very low rent, cheap strip mall in the middle of Paducah, Kentucky type of the same.
It's, I remember in the early days of streaming when I was still covering Canadian University football, a lot of what we got were streaming services. I forget the EastLink. EastLink used to play fixed cameras. Yep. You could watch St. Mary's University play Acadia. There's only four teams in that league, so they'd play Acadia every other week, basically. But we used to watch those games on our computers in the early days, and it was pretty crappy because, you know, the internet back then wasn't quite as...
Because dial-up internet with video? Yeah, that was a bad choice.
But this is what this reminds me of. It's like a step backwards, but it's like... I get into these philosophical arguments with people up here all the time that want to rejoice in the fact that the mainstream cable networks are moving away from content and these streaming sites are winning them. I get you can't stop the march of time. You can't stop the movement to a digital platform. But at the same time, there is a certain gatekeeping element that's happening here with this, right? Like, you are blocking out new fans. You are trying to grow this brand of FC Cincinnati and to sign into a deal for a couple more bucks. It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, look... I guess this might reflect MLS having a belief on the local market that ticket sales and getting people into the stadium might be still be more important to them financially than TV deals. And that is probably not something they'd ever say out loud, but it's probably true. It's the NHL is like that in the States too, is that they don't put a lot of stock, they go wherever they can get them on TV, but basically they're trying to get people in buildings. They're trying to get people in stadiums for Major League Soccer. That's their business model in a lot of ways. Well, their business model is some, but you know what I mean in terms of the MLS proper. It's not great for the fan. It's not great that they're showing their product. It makes the product look B-level. Like, I mean, if you're on the same network that's showing amateur wrestling, and I wrestled in high school, believe it or not, a long time ago now, obviously. So, you know, I know a single leg takedown when I see it. I might enjoy watching a little of that. But you know what? It's a little down market, and you don't want to really compare your product to that and or to amateur gymnastics or whatever. And there's, I'm sure there's hardcore advocates of that out there. But
yeah, but there's a thousand of them compared to millions of soccer fans. Anyways, it's a temporary situation too, because let's go back to last week when the news came out that Major League Soccer and Soccer United Marketing, some, told their local partners that TV deals cannot extend past 2022. So we imagine there's going to be a new TV deal or a package that will include maybe, at least in the States. In Canada, it will be different. In Canada, the rights of the World Cup will be their media program because of the Canadian Soccer Association and Canadian Soccer Business. And the Canadian Premier League with their media pro deal, it's included in this. But when we're looking at the stateside, they might be able to package a TV rights deal with U.S. Men's National Team, U.S. Women's National Team games. You can add the World Cup for 2026. If you add Major League Soccer and maybe the USL for ESPN Plus, example, or for a streaming service, you can have a very big American soccer package to sell to a Fox or to sell to a ESPN or an NBC or an ABC or even a CBS, for that matter, who does not have a lot of sports properties now with their... Okay, it's a bad sports network, CBS Sports Network, but it's a sports network nonetheless, and they do not have a lot of sports properties now. So maybe at 2022 or in the next couple of years when they negotiate this, you actually have a big package to get good money for a good, I would say, good channel or a good conglomerate, because Fox is like 10 channels, if not more. So, yeah, this could be a good deal if a major... player goes for it before 2022.
It's interesting. I listened to an interview. Sportsnet up here in Canada has a new president, and he was interviewed on Primetime Sports this week. It wasn't really soccer related, but they asked him, you know, what the plans were moving forward. And basically what he said without saying it is that Sportsnet is going to consolidate around what he called the major sports. And I'm guessing that this is a 60-year-old man, so the major sports in his mind are not soccer. Wow. He's talking about hockey, basketball, and or he's probably just talking hockey, baseball, basically. You know, maybe some basketball
maybe
going around there as well.
Some basketball and some football, but yeah. Maybe not.
So this is where the major networks are moving. So I think it is, you know, those of us as soccer fans understand that streaming and digital platforming is probably the future. You know, the Media Pro deal, and there are obviously, we should mention all the, every time we say Media Pro, that there are some issues with the ownership in the past. We know about them. Jonathan Tannenwald has written about it. You can read about that if you wish. But, you know, that aside, it is the right direction, because the idea of a third party ownership and then you know, sort of put it out from there is probably the best for this sport, which it's the king of the niches, but it's still a niche in North America, right? I do think that it is the king of the niche, and it's just cusping. It's like nipping at the heels of hockey, probably, for the last mainstream sport, although anyone who wants to claim MLS is anywhere close to NHL parity. Look at the revenues.
Look at Anaheim, a terrible team, and there's 20,000 people in the stands. Like, it's California.
Paying $50 a ticket, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's MLS is actually, I looked this up the other day, it's the 17th most profitable sports league in the world.
That's not bad. 17th in the entire
world?
No,
it's top 20, yeah. Yeah, it's behind the J-League, though. So, you know, that's
there's a lot of realistic money in Japan, though. Like, we're all surprised when we hear about Japan sports, but if you actually look deep in the Japan sports scene, talk about a culture shock. It's fascinating, from baseball to other sports. Like, bowling is massive in Japan. Like, bowling might be bigger in Japan than it is in the States right now. It's so weird. Anyways, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there's a podcast idea for us, the Japanese Bowling Podcast with Kevin and Dwayne.
Yeah, Shota Koyabushi is a good Shota is like the best Japanese bowler. Don't ask me why I know this. Just be glad that I do. Okay.
Okay, we're getting deep in the weeds now. No, but look, this is a bad deal for Cincinnati fans.
You
want to no
laugh?
Doubt about it.
You want to laugh? Look up Kyle Troop. Okay, KYLETROUP. Kyle Troop, okay. The most handsome, in quotation mark, bowler ever.
Okay.
He looks like a cross between Bob Ross. Yeah, he had the painter Bob Ross. And an image of the 80s wearing neon. That's Kyle Troop for you. But anyways, going back to soccer.
Yeah, and FC Cincinnati. I mean, there's not much more to say about this. The one thing that is, I think, a lot of fans in Cincinnati are particularly upset about, though, is the pricing of this. It's one thing to have this down market thing, but you're going to charge up. You know, you're charging caviar prices for McDonald's French fries. Is basically what's happening here.
Yep,
and that's a problem.
Yeah, we'll see if there's a change. We'll see, because basically, Flow Sports mentality is just to add niche after niche, month after month, just to make their subscription base grow a little bit at a time.
Yeah, 30 bucks DAZN a pop, before they started gobbling up big products.
DAZN with less good quality and less organization. But yeah, DAZN on a smaller scale, to be quite fair, especially when you look at the production values of Flow Sports, which usually are pretty, pretty bad. Now, let's move on to the end of the show, where we're just going to look at the CONCACAF Champions League games and the regular Champions League games this afternoon, too. Let's start with the CONCACAF games tonight. Santos Laguna, New York Red Bulls, down in Torreon, where Santos Lagunos play. It's a 2-0 for Santos Laguna. Does the Red Bull have a chance of coming back, Dwayne?
There's always a chance. I'm saying there's a chance, but
Mary Samsonite. I want to date Mary Samsonite. Sorry.
There's always a chance. You're saying there's a chance. Okay. Do they have a chance? Look, the Red Bulls proved last year that they can be a very good team in this competition. However, the Red Bulls, just like Atlanta, and we're going to talk in depth about Atlanta tomorrow with Joe Patrick from Dirty South Soccer. We'll get into the DeBoer comments and obviously set up their CCL game. So just putting them aside on a shelf for today. Like Atlanta, New York lost arguably their best player in the offseason. I mean, Kikuyu could under whatever, one or the other, but Adams was definitely a guy that was a catalyst for them, and to take him out of that is maybe made them not quite as good as they were. And I think all MLS teams are adjusting a little bit right now. What we're seeing in this competition, and this isn't to blow smoke up TFC as you know where, but TFC was a special team that was still riding a wave that crashed pretty quickly at the end of that, because that's what waves do. They crash and then they suck back into the ocean, right? So it did, but they were still on the crest of a wave, and it was kind of lightning in a bottle, that run last year. And there might be another team that does it. And SKC is still not out of this thing. We'll talk about them tomorrow as well. But in terms of the two games tonight, I mean, Houston Tigres, do we really want to analyze that one?
Tigres will kill them. This will not be well. This will not be pretty to watch.
Yeah, Houston might as well just send their kids down there. I mean, honestly, I mean, you don't want to get embarrassed, but at the same time, let's be realistic here. You've got an MLS season. And Houston is a team that could be a cusp playoff team. So you've got to, I think, focus on that. And that's ultimately, you know, when the NBA, we keep calling, there's this term they keep using in the NBA now called load management. And I think that load management, understanding how to manage a player's load, is something that these teams really have to think about tonight. How realistic is it to overcome a 2-0 lead or 2-0 deficit in this particular circumstances?
Two goals on the road too, but
Maybe you don't mail it in, but you do make strategic decisions on terms of who you take down there and who you play.
You don't mail it in, but you pack the 3 points, you put them in your backpack, and as soon as you get there, you just hand them over.
Yeah,
so you don't mail it in, you show up, but you don't jeopardize anything.
Yeah, exactly. You get through this thing. The grind that you'll have to do this, it's going to really affect your just breaking news. Michael Bradley has been called back into the U.S. men's national team. The U.S. roster was just released. It just popped up on my email. I haven't looked at it further than that.
Well, we'll talk about it more tomorrow, but Michael Bradley back in the U.S. roster.
That's my TFC mailing. That's why it said Bradley. Josie, obviously not. There you go. Look, how much do I think New York can win this game? Yes. I would give New York a 5% chance of overturning this. I would give Houston, my famous 1%. In fact, I think I'm being generous with that.
You are being generous with that. So those are the two Champions League games tonight. And tomorrow night, there's two more. But we'll talk about them tomorrow on tomorrow's show. Again, we're having Joe Patrick of the Dirty South Soccer joining us tomorrow, managing editor. Two UEFA Champions League games this afternoon, like you can see in your screens if you're watching the video version. Manchester City Schalke, it's 4 p.m. today because, it's that weird time of year where daylight saving hasn't taken effect in Europe yet. And there's 6 hours difference instead of five or something like that. Five, but instead
the other way.
They're five instead of six. So Man City and Schalke at 4 p.m. It's 3-2 on aggregate for City.
Yeah, three away goals for City on that one. Look, they didn't play particularly well in the first leg of this, and City right now is not playing particularly well by their standards. They are winning, though. I mean, you know, Raheem Sterling had a 10-minute hat trick on the weekend. So
that was fun to watch anyways.
Let's put the fan hat on for a second here. I am 20% worried about this one, but I think the three away goals should see City through this. They are the stronger of these two sides. Schalke is the weakest team in the final 16 of the Champions League, I think, pretty clearly, although maybe Real Madrid tried to make an argument for that.
Ooh, that hurts. I just heard someone just yell up a cry of a sigh of cry. Anyways, whatever.
Yes, exactly. This is not probably the game that the neutral would choose to watch. But certainly, as I said, the one caveat I will give is that City has had, you know, like PSG, a bit of a history in this competition. And PSG blew the lead to the other Manchester club on the road. So it's not that, you know, this is the Champions League. These teams are all capable of winning stuff. So that's not say it's a sure thing. But at the same time, heavy favorites, Manchester City, to continue that.
But the other game today is quite fascinating. At 4 p.m., Juventus versus Atletico Madrid. Right now, it's 2-0 in aggregate for Atletico Madrid, but they're playing on the road. They're in Turin, and Juventus-Atletico Madrid, this could be a fascinating game because Juventus needs to score two. They got Ronaldo, and they got the team to do it. But it's still fascinating because they're playing Diego Simeone's team, which they rarely concede two goals. So this should be a cracker of a game.
Yeah, I'll go be bold here and say that along with Barcelona, the winner of this tie is the favorite to win this competition. Obviously, it depends on draw, but Atleti is just very difficult to beat in a two-game tie. That is a team that has essentially identified what their strengths are, knows that it would take a lot of circumstance to win a league title, and does not set themselves up as such. You know, they had a perfect storm hit them in 2013 when they won? But that was
a couple years ago, but yeah.
Yeah, that Real Madrid and Barcelona both had down cycles that year, and that's how they managed to win. They won with like 88 points or something, which never happens in Spain. Maybe even less than that. I'd have to go back and look. But they are a team, however, that can play very, very – they're sandpaper. They're annoying to play against. Their players are rough and tough, and they play like their coach. You know, the coach famously grabbed his you-know-what after a goal last weekend. I got a lot of press all the time, and that's just who he is. You know, he's the man who coaxed David Beckham to get kick him in that very place in 1998, right? So
sure,
Diego Simeone is an asshole, is what he is. Oh. But his players will run through walls for him.
I thought he was just itchy. Oh, okay, there was a meaning to it. Okay, that's why I was like, here you go. Damn,
yeah.
You just went. Exactly. Anyways.
But so, yeah, I think that Letty, the point being with all this is that if they can get through this tie, you know, their kryptonite is Real Madrid, and they're out of the competition now. They were minutes away from winning the damn thing a few years ago. I believe that Atletico Madrid will win the Champions League before Diego Simeone leaves. In fact, I don't think he's going to leave there until he wins the Champions League, and then finally he can sleep for a while, right? Like, that's kind of where they're at. Juve, of course, got Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Right? How can you say no to him? They were, I think, most people's pick to win the Champions League for most of the fall. And you know, it was a bit surprising to see them fall behind 2-0 to Atleti. But, you know, as I said, this is a bad draw for them. Both of these teams would have saw it as a bad draw because they both are clubs that are capable of getting to the final eight. And only one is going to. So, yeah, that is... If it wasn't for my partisanship, I would absolutely be watching that game. But and in fact, I may skip out on Opera Bob's today so that I can have a second screen up, because it is the better of the two games.
Yeah, especially when you look at the potential result coming out of the game. So we'll keep an eye on those games. We'll come back tomorrow to talk about them, and we'll talk about tomorrow's game tomorrow, Barcelona-Lyon. And there's also tomorrow, Bayern and Liverpool, two fascinating games in the UEFA Champions League tomorrow. We'll be back to talk about it as well. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and tomorrow, 11 a.m., we're back in your ears or on your screens. Dwayne and I will talk to Joe Patrick, who is the managing editor of Dirty South Soccer. We'll talk about Atlanta United's CONCACAF Champions League game tomorrow night. We'll talk about the Frank De Bauer comments and more tomorrow from the world of football with a soccer perspective. But as always, until tomorrow, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie, and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.